Okay, good evening.
Good.
We're in Parashat Yitro. Parashat Yitro, we have Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, and we got a lot of other things, but the first thing to talk about is Vayishma Yitro. What is the meaning of Vayishma Yitro? A lot of people hear things. What is so special about Yitro, Vayishma Yitro? And that was chosen to be the beginning of the Parsha. Vayishma Yitro.
He heard what happened
and he came. And when we're talking about hearing things, sometimes we hear things and it comes from one ear, goes out of the other ear. Sometimes we hear things and we work against them. And sometimes we hear things and we do the right thing. And in last parasha we see two ways of hearing, and in our parasha we meet another one. Last week we read about Shirat Hayam, and there is written, Yishmeu amim mirgazun chil achaz yoshve plashet az nivalu alofe edom elei moavi hazemorad. All the nations, the peoples of the area heard about what happened in Egypt, and they all got frightened and trembled from fear and etc. etc. And did they do anything about it? They saw the glory of God. They saw the miracles. Did they do anything? Did they change their life? No. They went on with their own life like nothing happened. Comes from one ear, goes out of the other ear. Then we have Amalek. Amalek also hears. And he goes against the truth. Because everybody knew that God is the one. The only one. They saw the miracles. And this is also, sometimes we hear things we don't like to hear, or we don't want to hear, because it disturbs our joys of life. For example, somebody who is diabetic, and he sees this beautiful cake, and he wants to eat it, but he's not allowed to eat it. But he wants to eat it. And unfortunately, sometimes we eat it. The same thing is with cigarettes. You know, just now when I came back from Germany, you see on the, you have this pamphlet of the duty free on the plane, and you see how they advertise the cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Like you have, how we say, Otiot Kiddush Levana, they say. Like this is written, cigarettes kill.
In other words,
they tell you this is poison. And what do people do?
They buy
and smoke. And it's amazing. But that's Amalek. Because if we think we're reading about things that are not reasonable, they're not logical, this is daily things. Because you would think to yourself, how could it be that after seeing all those miracles, this guy comes to fight, go on war with Am Yisrael, that God is fighting for them? But it happens every day. We do those things. Then comes Yitro, Vayishma Yitro. He also hears, but he
listens
and acts. Because it's not enough to listen. You have to act according to what you hear. Mm-hmm. Yitro is doing this. Because Yitro, he looks for the truth. And he doesn't make compromises. Because you have to understand, this guy, it's like, maybe I'm a jazz, how do you say, jazz, you know, how do you say, magazine?
Okay,
it doesn't come out right, okay. Then, when, I would say, let's say, imagine to ourselves that the Pope goes up in the Vatican, up on this big porch, and he tells all his believers, listen, this religion is all a big joke. I'm going to be Jewish. Could you imagine to yourself a thing like this? But that's Yitro. Yitro is a Kohen of Midian. He is a high priest of Midian. And he decides to go and convert himself to be Jewish. This is unbelievable to understand it. And it's a big lesson for us. Now people think that the Jews, they are, they've got Amzgula. It's written in our parsha also, Amzgula. So we are special people, and that's it. All the others are second rate. The truth is, everybody can join. Everybody can be a part of Am Yisrael, if he wants. And the best sample is Yitro. And there is a benefit in it also, because somebody was born to something, he doesn't appreciate it enough, and he also sometimes doesn't like the situation he's in because he was forced to it. You were born Jews, Jew, you are Jew. You cannot escape it. You have to keep the mitzvahs. But somebody who is not Jewish, and he decides to become Jewish, and we can see it in the world also, sometimes the gerim are much more religious than the normal Jews, because they chose it from their own free will. In other words, it's my decision. I did it. I chose it. And maybe here's also a big lesson for us, to convince ourselves that being Jewish is so good that we're choosing to be Jewish. We are Jewish not because we were born Jewish. We are Jewish because we want to become Jewish. The same thing you have in Shema Yisrael. You say in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel, God, our God, is one. Three times God. God, my Lord, God is one. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. And there are a lot of explanations, but Or HaChaim HaKadosh says a very interesting thing. You see, God is one, the only one. There's nothing else, only God. He was, He is, He will. We all know it. So, we are really forced to believe in God. We are really forced to do what God tells us to do. It's not our free will. It's not our choice. So, how would you respect somebody? If you're forced to respect him, or if you choose to respect him?
If you choose.
So what is Or HaChaim HaKadosh saying? Hashem Elokeinu, the God is our Lord, is the God. He is the only one. But Hashem, we choose him. Though there is no choice, but if there was a choice, what would we do? Who would we choose? God. And that's a higher level of belief. Because if I do something because I chose to do it, it means I believe in it and I want to do it because I chose it. Mm-hmm. And this is a great thing to learn from Yitro. To learn, understand that maybe our attitude should be changed. Not thinking, okay, I was born a Jew, that's it, whatever. Yeah, it's nothing to do, I'm Jewish, and that's it. So you do the mitzvahs because you have to do them. Okay, it's a level, I'm not saying. But let's think, if we could get to a level that we do the mitzvahs because we want to do them. We worship God because we want to worship God, not because we are forced to. We are Jewish, we are Jews keeping mitzvahs, not because we were born Jewish, but because we want to do it. What do you think? Is it going to be different in the way we do the mitzvahs?
Well,
of course. So that's another interesting lesson from Vayishma Yitro. And when we're talking about hearing, we have also a very interesting episode when we look in the parsha.
But this is the difference from the people, all are born Jewish, but who keeps the mitzvah is who is in their home, they keep already since you born, or you made the option to make tshuva, and then you keep your mitzvahs. But
you call it what you want. At the end of the day, if you choose to do good, it's much better than if you're forced to do good.
Yes.
It's a different feeling, it's a different attitude, and it's a difference between fearing God and loving God. Because when I love God, I do things not because God forced me to do. I do it because I love God. And that's a higher level. And that's, let's say, that's something we have to wish for. Not to worship God because we have to. To worship God because we want to. It's a big difference. And here...
But, you know, when you realize that everything that you receive is from God, and He gives you everything, parnasa, briyut, children, wife, everything, then it's impossible not to love Him. Because who you are going to love? Somebody who gives you everything.
Yes.
It's not fear. It's, then you can, you have
but
to
you
love.
Need okay. to realize.
Yes, yeah, but yeah, exactly. You have to realize it and to believe in it. That's the point. That's what you're talking about. That's Yitro. What Yitro? Yeah. What did Yitro thought? Did you say, 1 minute, that's God. What are you doing here with all those idols? That is the God, the real God. I want to worship Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. I don't want to worship idols. And that's a basic thing. We have to understand it. The point is that you have to listen. You have to listen in the right way. Not to listen like all the nations of the area. Shamu amin yigaz unchila chazufi plaset. Okay, they heard it. They got a fright, but they went on with their life like nothing happened. Or even worse, be like Amalek. You know the truth. You see the truth, but you go against the truth. And the same thing when we see another interesting thing in our parsha, when we look in Pasuk Gimel in Perek Yutet, the third Pasuk in Perek Yutet. Is it Yutet?
Gimel.
Within Tet?
Hmm?
It's within Tet. Tet.
How does it begin?
Hmm?
How begins the Gimel?
Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. It's Revi. Go to Revi. The Pasuk Gimel.
Ah, okay. Ah. Revi. Now it's better.
Yes. Yes. Umoshe ala el Elokim, and Moshe went up to God. Vayikra elav Hashem min ha'har, and God called him from the mountain to say, "Ko tomar lebet Yaakov v'tagid libnei Israel." What is he saying here? What is "Ko tomar lebet Yaakov v'tagid libnei Israel"? Is it not the same thing? "Ko tomar v'tagid." Why is the Torah telling it in two different phrases?
Emphasizing,
of course, something. What do we want to learn from here? Or what do we have to learn from here? First of all, we have here...
The men and the women?
Yes, that's what Rashi is saying, the men and the women. Mm. But Or HaKadosh says a very interesting thing. He says, well, I cannot understand what's going on here. Well, you want to tell me that Moshe is coming down and talking differently to the women and differently to the men? It sounds strange. Well, it's one Torah. Well, you don't talk in different way to a man and different way to a woman. I have to understand what's going on here.
Sometimes you do.
What? You say different things?
No, you say them in a different way.
That's exactly the point. You don't say different things. You say them in a different way.
Mm.
In other words, we have to understand. When we say, every time that there is Vayomer, Le'emor, Tomar, it's a soft thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When it's tagid, say, it's a hard thing. So, Bet Yaakov, says Rashi, is the women. So to the women you talk softly. Bnei Israel is the men. To them you talk hard. But that's not enough. We have to understand what is the idea, because why are the women called Bet Yaakov?
Yeah.
And the men called Bnei Israel?
Yaakov and Israel is the same. It's
yes,
the
but we all know that when the Torah is using Yaakov, it's a different meaning. Yeah. And when the Torah is using Israel, it's a different meaning.
Yes.
And as you remember, Israel is a higher level.
Mm-hmm. So the women are in higher, in lower level because it's Bet Yaakov?
Or women have a different fight, a different story. Because Yaakov is not, when we talk about Yaakov, it's not, a, let's say, a lower level in the meaning of it's beneath or it's not good. It's the fight when you in the when you have to confront things. That's Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is the symbol
of the confront.
Of course, because you have to fight, you have to go against obstacles and things, and it's being heroic. It's not. It's like it's a good thing, but a tough thing. It's very interesting, because Yaakov on one side is the tough thing, but Rashi says there are the women, and you talk to them softly, which is a little hard to understand.
Yeah.
It should be the opposite.
Yeah.
And Israel is the higher level in the meaning that you can talk with him on a higher level. The idea is that with the women, or what is the idea behind, is that with some people you have to talk softly. With some people you have to talk hard. You say the same things, but it depends how you say them. Because the idea is not to say, it's to make people understand. You see, like in the Agada of Pesach, you have this thing with the Rasha. And that the Agada is telling you, Af ata ke chinav, you give him in his teeth, and you tell him, if you would have been in Egypt, you wouldn't be saved. It sounds very...
violent.
Yes, very violent. Not only this guy is your son. At the end of the day, he's your son, and he sits with you on the Seder night. If he wouldn't have been in the Seder night, I understand. But he cannot be such a big Rasha if he's sitting in the Seder night with the whole family. So why don't you try and make him better his ways? Why do you attack him? But the real truth is, it depends how you say it. It's not attacking if you say it differently. In other words, there are things in life that you can say them. The same thing you can say with a different meaning. And sometimes the different meaning is the opposite of the other. For example, here, from the point of view, the simple point of view, it looks like we are just telling him off. And you know, after talking to him with this, the logical thing is he would leave the Seder on a table and go away. Because you send him away. But one of the beautiful explanations, I don't remember, it was one of the Gdoilim of today, he's still alive, I don't remember the name, unfortunately. He says, very interesting thing. He says, that's not how you say it. That's not the idea. But you tell this son, say, my dear son, I love you so much. And it hurts me to think that if the Geula will come, you would stay here and you wouldn't come with us. You know you're going to break our heart. Now, is this sending him away? Or is this talking to his heart? And maybe because of this talk, he will do tshuva. In other words, you can say, what are you doing here? If you would have been now in the Egypt, you wouldn't come with us. Or when you say, you're breaking our heart. You're talking from love. And this is exactly, sometimes, you have to understand, you can say the same thing and get a different result. Depends how you say it.
But when you say one way, and you say the other way, and yes, it still doesn't function, what do you do? There are also people that you can tell them in a soft way, you can tell them in a hard way, and they don't change.
But the question is, what is the best way? That's the question.
Yeah, but...
What is the best way? Attacking him or trying to talk to his heart? That's the question.
Okay, but still...
By the way, sometimes you have to talk with your heart. You have to understand. If not, as we see here,
yeah,
that's the lesson. You have to know who you talk to. You know, last year I've been in Germany and I did a few small drushes on in shul because the rabbi was not there. So I did it in Hebrew and then I translated it to German while I was talking Hebrew and German. I'm not very good in German, but I broke my teeth because when I talk with Hebrew, a few other people understand, but I didn't. And I'm in Germany, so I translated to German. After I finished, somebody got up and tried to translate the whole thing to Russian.
Wow.
And then I realized that most of the people there don't understand no Hebrew and no German. So, in other words, you can talk with somebody, and if he doesn't understand you, you did nothing. So it's not only talking, it's how I talk, and make sure that people understand what you talk. It's the same way if somebody comes and gives a drasha on a very high level, and he gives you this, and he's got a lot of knowledge, no doubt about it, but he's talking so high that nobody understands what he wants. It comes to simple people. Now, if he talks in the yeshiva with all the scholars, okay. But when you come and talk in a general congregation and you tell them those things, they don't understand what you're saying. In other words, it's not only what you say, it's how you say it. And you know, even very complicated thing, you can say in a very simple way.
Yes.
Sometimes you have people, they take a simple thing and complicate it. But you have those clever people, they take a complicated thing and they simplify it, that everybody can understand. And that's the idea. You go to Am Yisrael, you talk with them, make sure they understand what you're talking about. When we want to educate our kids, and even if it's the Rasha that's sitting on the table on the Seder night, we have to know how to talk with him. Because we don't want to send him away. We want him to be with us.
Like a professor that went to a big class to give a class, and he talked, he explained a lot of things, but difficulties in mathematics, very difficult. When he finished, he asked them, "Did you understand what I
said?"
My matarajas, they said it was wonderful class, wonderful, but we didn't understand
a thing. And that's exactly the point. So it's like, you know, sometimes in the end, you have a kid goes to school and he's very good at a certain subject, and the next year doesn't go and you don't understand. He said, last year you were so brilliant, what happened this year? They changed the teacher.
That's a simple thing,
change the teacher. Because some teachers don't know how to teach.
Exactly.
And that's exactly the point. You have to understand, when you want to give a message, you have to make sure that people understand the message. So when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu to come and talk with Am Yisrael, he explains to him, you know, you have women, you have men, you have people at a high level, a low level, you have to talk to all of them. They have all, they need to understand you. Because otherwise you did nothing. And it's all by Yishma Yitro. It's how you hear the things. But in order to hear them right, you have also to tell them right. So here we see an unbelievable thing that we are just reading. And it looks, how can it be that he talks different things to women, different things to men? But now we understand, it's not different. It's the way you talk. And it's not even women and men. It's to understand that you're talking in front of people that are built, society that is built from different levels, different ages. So you have to talk the way that everybody will understand what you say. It's like this. You say, I was thinking, I'm breaking my teeth to speak German, but they don't understand German. So I can talk from here to next year. So what? So we have to know who you're talking to and how to talk. In life, you have all those little lessons that you go through, and then you understand and you see it. As we see, what is Amalek? He sees the truth, he hears the truth, but still goes against it. I know, we do those things every day. Look at this world around us. There are so many things that we know that are not good for us, and we still do them. Why? That's Amalek. And more are the things that we see here, we understand it's wrong, we understand it, but we don't want to change. You see, we talked about it a lot, but it's very important, I said, it's the comfort zone. What is this comfort zone? The comfort zone is not always comfort. Sometimes it's a terrible place, but you're used to it. And because you're used to it, nobody can take you away from this place. And that's the problem. You have to know that sometimes in life you have to change things. It's hard to change. You're used to things. And when people want to change your habits and things, it's for you, it's terrible. You prefer to stay in a terrible situation and not change anything about it. Because people are afraid from changes. But we all know that some changes are very good for you. So why shouldn't you do it? But that's exactly one of the big lessons of our parsha. Vayishma'ito. The first yes. Want to ask something?
I want to ask you something. I think in 7 or 8 times that the parsha say Yitro. Let's read. Yitro Kohen Midian Chatan Moshe. Why he repeats so many times? We know from the beginning, right? That is, Yitro is Chatan from Moshe.
But that's exactly the point. First of all, there are two things here. First of all, is the mentioning Yitro Kohen Midian. To tell you, this is not just another goy.
No, okay, it's but Chatan Moshe.
Then, to understand you.
10 times, repeat. So,
yes, why? Because who is important here?
Moshe.
Yeah.
He is honored to be the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's honored. This is it's great honor. This is Chatan. The Torah tells you he's honored.
To be
the Chatan of Moshe. It's a big honor.
It's like to present someone that is a grandson from a great tribe.
Exactly. The same thing.
This is the...
And they tell you, nevertheless, who is this guy who wants so much to be connected to Moshe? This guy is a high priest of Avodah Zarah, of idols.
And a clever
idol
man.
Worshippers. Because very clever man.
But, the eight cell of
by the way, this is also one of the questions our sages ask. Why? This is the Torah telling us about this goy coming and giving this clever nation, Am Yisrael, the most clever nation in the world, giving them advice
to Moshe. Why? They don't,
to Moshe? Why? Moshe is stupid. He doesn't know that it's wrong because we see that he listens to his advice.
Yeah.
What's the idea behind it? Because some people think that we were chosen to be the chosen people because we are so clever. And it's not true. Mm. That's not the reason. That's why the Torah is telling you, here, look at Yitro. Before I give you the Torah, you have to understand I didn't choose you because you are more clever than others. That's not the reason I chose you. And if you think that is the reason, here, you see this guy comes to you and he gives you advice and you will take his advice. That's what the Gemara says, Chochma Bagoyim Ta'amin. Yes, there are clever people amongst the goyim. And we're talking about Greek, for example, all the philosophers, that even the Ramban sometimes quote them. They were very clever people. So the Torah is telling us that don't make things or don't send things in the wrong way. You are clever because you chose the Torah, and now you got the Torah, it makes you more clever. But you were not chosen because you are clever. You were chosen because Am Yisrael, we are the children of God. We got a mission. I'm Kshe Oref. There are a lot of things that look terrible, but those are the things that made Am Yisrael Am Yisrael. Mm-hmm. So, as you see, also in this is a big lesson.